You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. Community artists play a vital role in California. They help to shape culture and share stories that build bridges across generations. But advocates will quickly point out that funding for the arts has largely been stagnant for the past 25 years. And despite California's identity as a global arts and culture hub, the state ranks around 35th nationally in per capita funding. The California Arts Council is the state's only public arts grants provider, with funding that is accessible to all 58 counties, and they are celebrating its 50th anniversary. As lawmakers work to finalize the state's budget for the upcoming fiscal year, creatives are coming together to ask for funding to reflect that artists are valued and paid in our society. Giannini Mapurunga is a social practice artist who's been documenting a group of Spanish-speaking seniors who meet regularly in Sacramento. She joined us last year about her documentary about the group called Manitos. And Julie Baker is a CEO of California for the Arts. Thank you both for taking the time.
Thanks so much, Vicky.
Thank you so much for being here.
Well, Giannini, I want to start with you. You are a local artist. Tell us about your work and your background.
I am a social practice artist, which means that my work is all based on engaging with communities. And a lot of times the community will tell me a particular need that they have, and then I will work hard to find funding to be able to meet that need. So in the case of Bien Juntitos, the project about the Manitos, the elders came to me. It's a group of Spanish-speaking elders, and they came to me and they said that they wanted their stories recorded. And so that's how that particular project started. So these projects are all very community-based.
Yeah, the oral history.
Correct, yes.
Component. And the founder, Maria Lueras, she joined us along with you back in July, and our Cap Radio reporter, Gerardo Zavala, who also did a piece. It's just a wonderful grassroots group that has been around for decades. I mean, did that compel you as an artist to want to tell their stories for generations to come?
Absolutely. So the way that we developed as a species, our elders were the most important people in society, and now they're often the least. And that's a problem, especially now where we're facing a moment of such disconnect and isolation. It's really important to engage our youth with our elders. And especially also because these people are all Spanish speakers, and when they have the second and third and fourth generations, a lot of times the culture and the language get lost. And so this is a great way to connect people with their cultural roots as well.
So how did the California Arts Council come into play for this particular project for you?
Without the support from California Arts Council through the Creative Core funding, I would have not been able to do this project, because the Manitos came to me in 2019 asking for this project, and I applied for many grants, and it was the California Arts Council grant that I was awarded. And so I had been working on trying to find funding for this project for 4 years. And the Creative Core funding was fundamental, because without it, I don't know how I could have met this need. And in the meantime, while I was looking for funding for this project, some of the elders passed away. And so there is an urgency for this type of work.
Yeah. I mean, that it seemed like that funding was just a game changer.
That funding was a game changer. And through that funding, I was able to really develop this project in a way that I had never been able to develop any project in my career so far.
So, Julie, I want to bring you in because you run California Arts Advocates. So describe what your organization does and how you're connected to the California Arts Council.
Sure. So we're not directly connected to the Arts Council. That is your state arts agency. But we are the advocacy organization that establishes how important arts and culture, and particularly artists and cultural bearers, are to California, and really try to influence the legislature and the administration to invest in that workforce and to pass legislation. We were here, I think, last year with Jaya King around the mural bill. So looking at ways that we can increase opportunities for artists to thrive in California, whether that's around housing, whether that's around being engaged in public health and mental health issues, all the different ways that artists contribute to their communities. But often and historically, it has been without the investment to match their contributions. And so really, we are trying to establish how important it is to see this as a public good and an essential part of our civic infrastructure.
So how does the Golden State rank when it comes to funding in the arts? I mean, I led with 35th per capita compared to other states. Some people might be surprised at that, considering what the fourth or fifth largest economy in the world.
That's right. And 1 in 10 jobs in the state of California are part of the creative economy, including the downstream, you know, jobs that benefit, whether that's restaurant workers and hotels and all the other things. Yeah, it's pretty shocking, actually. If you look at the statistics, we are actually behind, I'm going to use this state, Florida, in terms of per capita funding. We're behind Tennessee. We're behind South Dakota and Missouri. So I think it's pretty shocking to people to recognize that. Now, this is specifically funding that the California Arts Council gets. And there are other places that funding can go for the creative economy. We saw the film and TV tax credit, for example, triple over, I think, last year. And that's really critical for particularly Los Angeles County. However, what's important about the California Arts Council, which was established 50 years ago by Governor Jerry Brown, is that it's really providing access for all Californians to arts and culture. And as you mentioned that in as your introduction. And I think what we've seen historically is that in areas where there's philanthropy, you can see that at level of investment. The United States and in now California specifically, we're way behind other countries in how we invest public dollars in arts and culture. And so we rely then on philanthropy or earned revenue to make it happen, or we rely on generational wealth for artists to be able to afford to be artists. Whereas we see this as an essential public good. And places like I live in Nevada City, California, rural communities don't have access to philanthropy. Historically disinvested communities of color don't have access to the same level of philanthropy. And so then we see a lack of arts and culture in certain communities. So this is about equity.
So since the council is celebrating 50 years, this must have been Governor Brown's first go around as governor.
That's right. Yes.
And not the most recent go-around.
No, and folks like Luis Valdez, Gary Snyder, Peter Coyote, Ruth Asawa were some of the first council members. It was pretty radical in a sense back then to talk about access and in that way. And for many years, that agency had $1 million, and that was it. We were 49th in the United States. So we certainly have seen increases in the Creative Corps that you were just speaking to was a single largest appropriation to the agency during COVID when there was federal dollars. But now when the government is facing difficult decisions in terms of, you were just talking about the structural deficit, unfortunately, arts and culture, while we have our legislative champions and we've seen Newsom be supportive of arts and culture over the years, it is now falling, you know, down to the bottom of the list. And whereas we see it as essential, we think we can actually be part of the solutions to many of the problems that they're trying to address.
So Giannini was talking about the Creative Corps and how that was very successful for her, not only for this project, but for her as a professional, as an artist. Where does that Creative Corps stand today? Is that still possible?
I mean, that's up to, we would love for it to still be possible. We've been advocating for that since, for 2 years now, to see it come back. It has not. There's zero funding for it currently at the state level. Certain communities, San Diego, have seen private investment continuing it because they've seen such tremendous impact. Because there's such a huge multiplier effect when you invest in arts and culture. You know, the statistics, for example, for performing arts is for every dollar that you spend in a community, $38 in addition circulates from that $1. For every 100 jobs in performing arts, there's 156 that downstream benefit from that. And so, yes, I mean, the Creative Corps was essential to artist employment. It was really modeled, in a sense, after the WPA, but for the 21st century, and hiring artists, valuing their work to be employed in service to civic issues for public good. And it was a incredibly successful. More artists were employed in California during the Creative Corps than the height of the WPA.
And that was during the New Deal?
That's right.
The Workers' Progress Administration.
Works Progress Administration, yeah. Exactly. And there was a particular emphasis on arts and culture with murals and theater and writing, all sorts of things. And in that case, it was a lot about America's identity. But in a sense, we're still talking about America's identity. And I think California has really this tremendous opportunity to lead with diversity as our strength and to celebrate the incredible amount of arts and culture that we have here, but we cannot do it without the resources, and we are currently under-resourced terribly.
You're listening to Insight here on CAP Radio, and if you're just joining us, we're talking about state funding for the arts in California. The legislature has until June 15th to approve and vote on a budget for the next fiscal year. So, Julie, as you mentioned, you lobby on behalf of the California Arts Council. So talk to us about this year's ask, the budget allocations, and what you're asking the governor and the legislature
sure.
to fund.
And just to clarify, we're not lobbying on their behalf because they can't lobby as a state agency, but we are lobbying on the behalf of the field because that's who benefits from those grants. So in the 50th year, the current allocation to the Arts Council for local assistance grants is $24 million. They also have, and that's for the entire state, they also have a cultural district program there's 24 cultural districts in the state of California, which are really community and economic development strategies focusing on cultures in particular communities. There are 24 now, and they also have zero funding. There was $10 million, and that's will be expended by June 30th. So the ask for the Arts Council, both from the legislature and from advocates, is to get it to $50 million in local assistance funding in their 50th year for one time to start, and include in that an allocation for cultural districts. Additionally, if I could mention the Performing Arts Equitable Payroll Fund. This is in response to the employment law change, AB 5, that happened in 2020.
And that was really like meant for Uber and Lyft drivers,
that's
right?
That's correct. But the unintended consequence was for arts and culture, and particularly performing arts. So if you're putting on a show with 100 performers, back in the day, you could pay people as independent contractors. You could say over the 8 weeks, we'll pay you $1,000. Today, if you want to be in compliance with state law, you have to pay everyone at least a minimum wage and overtime for rehearsals and everything else. So these underinvested in performing arts organizations, particularly under $2 million, have seen their expenses go up between 40 and 60% in order to be in compliance with state law. So several years ago, Senator Portantino created SB 1116, Performing Arts Equitable Payroll Fund. This was a historic bill in that employers, labor unions, advocates came together and worked on it. And we had $11.5 million to give out. About 100 organizations received that. Over $40 million in requests came in within days. And so that currently is unfunded as well. And so we also have a request of the legislature to continue that funding. The ask is $40 million, but I'll be honest with you, we will take what we can get to continue these programs because, you know, unfortunately, as the arts have always, you know, had to be scrappy, we know how to take a dollar and really make it work in our communities. And so we really demand and ask and urge the legislature to find these dollars in the final budget negotiations, as well as the administration. We really hope the governor continues to see this and how important this is to a thriving California and a healthy California.
Given that we're in like the final days before, you know, the budget needs to at least be approved by the legislature and head to the governor, I mean, this is just like crunch time for lots of advocacy groups, like talking to lawmakers who are negotiating. I mean, how do you kind of wiggle your way in and, you know, and kind of get to the stage to advocate on behalf of the arts when there's a lot of competing interests right now and a tight budget?
That's right. I mean, it is a challenge, no doubt about it. We have a grass tops strategy in terms of people who know people who are in the positions, the budget chairs, the speaker, the pro tem, et cetera.
Is there a will there right now when you're talking to lawmakers?
You know, I've never received something that we want to support. That's the challenging part, is that we get a lot of folks saying, of course, arts and culture are important, but they haven't yet prioritized it. And, you know, and I think in a budget that's $350 billion, to ask for a total, let's say $66 or even $30 million, is what we call budget dust. Now, I get it. It all adds up, and they have to find it, and they have to figure out how to balance it. But I think that the thing, if I were to say to anyone, is, let's also remember that a lot of this is fueled by AI. We need to reinvest in human creativity now more than ever. And to invest in artists in California now, while we're seeing this incredible transformation to automation and the original storytellers that Giannini is interviewing and talking about, this is essential work. And I cannot underscore how important that is right now in particular.
Yeah, Giannini, I mean, Julie was talking about AB5 and how that had an impact on independent contractors, now also talking about AI. How are you feeling these impacts and this evolution taking place? How is it impacting your work as an artist?
Well, the way I see it is like this. Arts and creativity are what defines us as human. It's what sets us apart from every other species. So to invest in human creativity is to invest in humanity. And what I see happening in the world right now with so much technology is that we are losing our very humanity. And so to me, as an artist working with communities to document their stories, the way it feels, it feels like people are losing a sense of what it feels like to be human, you know, when so much attention is being put on AI. And then to think that you can bring AI to substitute human creativity is just baffling to me. Because human creativity is what defines us as a species.
I want to end with your film, because I think you have an announcement, right? When can people see your film?
I'm very proud of this. This film was funded through Creative Core, right? The film is going to screen at the Nevada City Film Festival on June 27th. This is very, very exciting. And I want to invite everyone to be there to support local filmmaking, to support the local arts. And that's where I'll be, June 27th.
That is wonderful. It's years in the making. It must just feel so good to be able to put it in front of an audience.
Yes. And also the fact that these elders, you know, they really wanted their stories recorded as a way to connect with the younger generations, as a way to have their legacy, and also as a way to say, we exist and our stories matter. And so for me, it's such a pleasure to be able to share this film with the community.
Julie and Giannini, thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you so much,
Vicky.
Thank
you.
Julie Baker is the CEO of California for the Arts, which advocates on behalf of the California Arts Council for funding. And Giannini Mapurunga is a social justice artist whose work includes documenting Sacramento's Manitos. They are calling on lawmakers to allocate funding in the upcoming state budget, asking for $50 million for the state arts agency, the California Arts Council, and $40 million for the Performing Arts Equitable Payroll Fund. Still ahead, whether you're headed out on vacation or wishing you were, summertime is the best time to pick up a new book. We have a list of the perfect reads to pair with sunshine and warmer weather. You're listening to Insight on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.